Sooner Nation, welcome to the SI Sooners podcast, another special Thursday edition. The weeks are just so busy, it's hard to get to them on Wednesday. We'll try better next week. Listen, we got some basketball to talk about in a minute. We got, I talked to the good folks at softball yesterday. That was fun. Talked to the baseball guys today. Talked to the basketball guys yesterday and today. Talked to Sherry Cole yesterday. Lots more coming up on that one. But Ryan, the wait is over. Our long national nightmare has ended. We talked to Lincoln Riley today. Spring football practice is here.
Yeah, I can't wait, John. Finally got to get out there. Hear the pads popping. We're still in Zoom land. But all the less, it was great to get to talk to Lincoln Riley today and have that. Just football is back, John. It's here. We've got a date for the spring game, so we can look forward to that. And spring practice kicking up next week in Norman should be a ton of fun. It was a good couple of months while it was gone, but I'm glad they're over.
That's Ryan Chapman. He is in Norman for now. And I'm John Hoover. I'm in Tulsa. Ryan has been with us for about 3 months already. And you know what? He's already gone to his very first bowl game. And tonight, he leaves to go cover his very first NCAA tournament. Last week, he covered his very first big, huge recruiting event, the Under Armour thing down in Dallas. Got lots of content from that coming up. So you're going to need to get to the website to see what that is. But you know what, Ryan? What can I say? We are making dreams come true every day here at SI Sooners. Want to thank you guys for listening to the SI Sooners podcast and for, of course, watching on my good old YouTube channel. Everybody loves a good YouTube channel. Well, mine's the best, so appreciate y'all. I do. I really do. SI Sooners is a Fan Nation affiliate, of course. Sports Illustrated Network, that's the one we're a part of. SI Sooners is our name, and the website is allsooners.com. So, Ryan, how excited are you at the ripe old age of 24 now to be one of four people from the entire state of Oklahoma credentialed to cover an OU basketball game this weekend? It's the NCAA tournament. The whole thing's in Indianapolis. The bubble madness, I guess we're calling it, basically. And Ryan is going to be there covering it for us, for you. Even if OU's roster is, let's say, out of harmony, Ryan will be your point man this weekend. How jacked are you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm pretty jacked. You know, Duke might not be going. Kentucky may be at home. But I will be in Indianapolis. It should be a ton of fun. I'm actually looking forward to the Sooners got drawn into the Lucas Oil Stadium pod. And I always find that incredibly fascinating, John. Usually we don't get to see college basketball teams playing in football arenas until the Final Four. Well, guess what, Sooner fans? You'll get to see it right off the top. But, John, I just can't wait. I love college basketball. I love the NCAA tournament. It's one of my favorite things all year long. And it's such a privilege and just a huge excitement, again, to actually get to be a part of it, especially considering how slim the list is. I just hope, John, personally, that I get willed my first NCAA Tournament Cup, because I'm going to be very mighty sad if those aren't waiting for me at the seats.
You'll have lots of NCAA Tournament Blue Cups that you have to take on to the... Actually, you won't be going on the sidelines. You won't be getting anywhere near the sidelines, or probably Section 1 for that matter. So yeah, I made an awful pun, but it's not funny at all. The Sooners play Missouri on Saturday night, 6:25 p.m. on TNT. 6:25 p.m. on TNT. Write it down so you don't have to ask me later. You can get your bracket, by the way, at allsooners.com. Now, the game is, as Ryan said, Lucas Oil Stadium, downtown Indy. That's where the Colts play, and it's where the NFL Combine is. And trust me when I say this, I've been in there many times. It's massive. It's massive. But the news, the bad pun, sorry. Awful news out of Norman yesterday. Davion Harmon is out for this weekend's games. Ugh. Again, OU plays Saturday night, and if they're able to win that one, you know what, Davion or no Davion, they're going to have their hands full in the next round, because they would get, we think, we're pretty sure, we're confident when we say this, the number one overall seed, Gonzaga. Yeah, undefeated, number one ranked Gonzaga is trying to run the table, and OU stands in their way, potentially, if OU beats Missouri. Ryan, there's a lot more work to be done before anyone starts scouting the Zags. You and I just got off the video call with three players. We talked to Lon Kruger about it yesterday. Missouri's pretty good. Quanzo Martin is a good coach. The Tigers went 8-8 in the SEC this year. I think their overall record 16-9. But they're the 9 seed here. And those 8-9 seed games, man, it's a coin toss. This is the game the Sooners are going to be hard-pressed to win. So let's start there. How does OU manage without Davion Harmon?
Yeah, John, and this is really interesting, too, because it's not just your normal 8-9 game. Oklahoma and Missouri, the kind of seasons they've had, mirror each other almost perfectly. They're teams that were not really picked to do a ton, got red hot in January, both found themselves in the top 10, and then had this awful backslide to close the season. And so it's one of those things of Lon Kruger's talked about, Austin Reeves talked about it. You had to imagine coming into it, it's going to be just the old-fashioned what team can grind it out more. And the Sooners are going to have quite the hill to climb without their biggest grinder, in my opinion, which is Davion Harmon, because he's a guy that he was the most consistent guy I felt like all season long, John, just in terms of bringing that energy every single night, never really getting down over the course of a game, no matter what was happening. And Davion's that spark plug early for this team. He's the guy that usually is amongst the leaders and scorers there headed into halftime. Then Austin Reeves kind of takes over. So it'll be really interesting to see. Lon Kruger told us it'll be a combination of Jalen Hill, Alondis Williams, Victor Iwakor to try and replace Davion's production. That'll be good for the Sooners in the sense that they're going to get a lot bigger, which they're going to have to deal with the size of this Missouri team. That would have been a problem with Davion, but you never want to be down another excellent ball handler and just a guy that is such a great emotional leader of that team. So it'll be interesting to see if Austin Reeves is going to have to handle the ball for 40 straight minutes or if we see maybe Emoja Gibson get a little bit of point in. But the Sooners are dealt an awful hand here for sure as they find out upon entrance to the bubble that Davion Harmon has tested positive.
Yeah, big picture, a little more Reeves, a little more Gibson, a little more Harkless would certainly be good in this situation. Maybe Brady Manick continues his hot scoring, you know, and they don't need those bench guys to come in and produce points so much. Brady could be an X factor. I'll tell you this, Missouri has played Oklahoma in the NCAA tournament before, 2002, in the Elite Eight. OU won, of course. That was on their way to the Final Four. Hollis Price, Quanis White, all those guys. But this is a first-round game. And you just know, you absolutely know, OU fans are like, we have to win this game. And of course, Missouri fans are saying the same thing. You don't want to leave a conference and then lose to somebody from that conference, vice versa for OU. You don't want to have someone run out on you like Mizzou did and then go beat your butt in a big game down the road. Nobody wants that. Kind of reminds me of Texas A&M and the Cotton Bowl. Yeah, that would suck. But you beat Missouri. And then your reward is the best team in the country, Gonzaga. So it's a tall order, even if Davion Harmon was playing. Clearly, the selection committee did OU no favors. You know why? Because OU did themselves no favors. You finish the regular season, you lose, what, 5 out of your last 6 games? You get punished for that, and the Sooners were very unimpressive down the stretch. Even their wins down the stretch were kind of tight. You know, beat a couple of losing teams by a few points of one possession or two. It's like, another tailspin in the month of February. Ryan, this is what you get. You get stuck against the number one overall seed in the second round.
Yeah, just today, Emoja Gibson was talking about, every team goes through their slump. Nobody's perfect. Emoja, that's wrong. Gonzaga is perfect. They're literally the only team that hasn't lost a game, and they'll be waiting in the wings there. But yeah, I mean, the only team that the only guys that you can blame are yourself, and you just have to hope that. Also, on the other hand, what's done is done. The past is the past. You're in the tournament. You can't change your seeding. You can't change who you're going to play. All you've got is whoever's in front of you. So to Oklahoma's credit, they still seem to be supremely confident. Anytime you talk to Elijah Harkless, the bottom line for Elijah Harkless is that Oklahoma can play with any team in the country. John, we're going to be able to find out, because if they can get past Missouri, you've got the very best waiting in the wings there. And we'll just see what they've got. You know, it's one game samples from here on out. Anything can happen. But if it goes anything like that first half against the Jayhawks or 4 of their last 5 in the regular season, you just have to wonder if the Sooners have the firepower to get it done anyway. And now without Davion Harmon, that challenge becomes that much bigger.
Up next on the SI Sooners podcast, we talking about practice. Hey, listen up. Spring is here, but you know the seasons in Oklahoma. Hot one day, cold the next. That's a lot of work for your heating and air unit, but the guys at Trade Pros got you covered. Sign up for one of their no-hassle service plans. They'll come out twice a year and tune up your AC and your furnace, and you get priority scheduling and discounts. Just call Chris at Trade Pros, 405-316-0598. That's 405-316-0598. Or go to tradeprosokc.com. Hey, are you a business owner looking to get your product out there to the masses? Let's say you run a hotel in Norman or a car dealership in Oklahoma City or a restaurant in Edmond. Or maybe you're a small online business who creates and sells OU merchandise and you just want Sooner Nation to come sample your wares. Well, then consider advertising in this space right here on the SI Sooners podcast. SI Sooners reaches thousands of readers, viewers, and listeners literally every day. And the SI Sooners podcast is the ideal place to find your next customer. To advertise, send an email to allsoonerssi@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter at @all_Sooners. You can follow SI Sooners on Twitter at @all_Sooners. Find Ryan at Radio's Ryan. I'm at John E. Hoover. Our website, allsooners.com. We are a Fan Nation affiliate, part of the Sports Illustrated Network. Always find the video version of this here podcast on my YouTube channel, John Hoover Media. And remember, if you're watching that original channel, I need you to subscribe, please, to my new channel right here. That's where all my content is going to be posted eventually. All my content. Right now, I'm double posting. Don't tell YouTube. The Lincoln Riley press conference today, by the way, went up at that site first. So before it went to the one you're probably watching right now. So anyway, if you want the good stuff, subscribe to that new one. It's happening soon. I don't know when, but soon. Okay, Ryan, we made it. It's football season again. Spring football practice season starts on Monday. And by golly, we talked to Lincoln Riley today for about 30 minutes, and it was glorious. It was glorious because it was football. We talked about position battles, right? We talked about Spencer Rattler's progression that Lincoln expects to see in his first spring as the starter. I got a big story coming on that in the morning on the website, allsooners.com. We talked about there's one guy who's going to miss spring practice because of off-season surgery, and it's a captain. Story just posted about that this afternoon. Now, we also talked about, you know, COVID protocols, and we talked about vaccines, and we talked about sexual harassment in the workplace. It was a really good question by Barry Trammell there, by the way, regarding the Les Miles scandal at LSU that spilled over to Kansas. And a great answer from Lincoln. And you can watch that whole video press conference where? AllSooners.com. Yeah, but sure, you know, big, hot, hard topics, difficult questions, tough answers, all that stuff, right? That's fine. Man, I'm just glad we got some football questions today, Ryan. It was good to talk some ball today, was it not?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it was a little COVID heavy for my liking, but yeah. I understand the questions, vaccines, things like that, how that's going to change the protocols, all that stuff. I get it. But it was nice to have Lincoln Riley in front of our faces again on that Zoom screen. It was nice to just have the awkward stepping over each other. Do I say thank you to Lincoln after he answers my question or not? All that lovely stuff. And of course, to dig into the position battles, there's some great stuff there on the defensive line, the offensive line, and the wide receivers to go along with your Spencer Rattler question. Plenty of spring storylines this season, even though it's a pretty veteran-laden team for the Sooners.
Now, if you want to read more or watch more, we got tons of content up already, have had it throughout the day, including the entire press conference video. It's about 28 minutes, 27 minutes, something like that. Posted at allsooners.com. Also, don't forget, it's Thursday. And that means it's Thursdays with Mora, where Jim Mora talks to Ryan and me about OU's draft prospects every Thursday. Great stuff today. I really enjoyed it on Ramondre Stevenson. Good story, good quotes, good video by Jim Mora. So, Ryan, let's get into those position battles that you mentioned. The offensive line, the defensive line, the secondary, and the wide receivers in particular. Lincoln said those are going to be some of the most hotly contested position battles on the team this spring. And you know what? My opinion, he's 100% right. Those are the four spots where You've got established players coming in, coming back, and you've got some new players, really young, talented, extremely hungry players at all those positions that are just going to want some playing time. DB is really interesting. Wide receiver is extremely interesting because of what Lincoln Riley said about it today. Just listen to this clip that I have. Fascinating stuff.
You know, I think it'll be some of the most interesting position battles that we have this spring. You know, that frankly for us was a position, you know, by and large, although we had some great moments, that was a position that we weren't real thrilled about the way we played last year. And know that we can play better there. We know that we can coach better there. I mean, all of the above. It's something we've just all got to do a better job with. And part of that is, you know, again, we had some great moments from that group, but part of it is we have such a high standard for the play of receivers here at Oklahoma, which just the standards are really, really high. And we believe we got the people in this building to play and perform at those standards. So it'll be fun. You know, we're gonna move some guys around, create some interesting, I think, position battles. I think we've got some really well-defined goals for that group, for the individuals. We've a lot of our offseason with those guys has been kind of dedicated to challenging them in the areas that we weren't as good as we needed to be, and really finding guys that are going to attack those areas and turn those maybe what were weaknesses into strengths. And those are going to be the guys that we play with. So I would say more than any position on the team right now, that is going to be a just true blank slate. I mean, we told the guys from day one when we came back that we're wiping everything that any of you guys have ever done, and we are starting with a clean blank slate. You know, we're going to do a better job coaching that position. We're going to really attack it, and those guys have had a great offseason so far, so I can't wait to see them on the field and see how these battles unfold.
Ryan, we've had our position preview spring position stories, I guess, posted over the last couple of weeks or so, SISooners, allsooners.com. And you know what? If you don't want to scroll down on the website, you want to find them real easy on your phone while you're sitting at a stoplight. Sports Illustrated's SEO, okay, search engine optimization, is incredible. I mean it. Just go there. Go to your old Google. Go to that danged old Google and type in Oklahoma position preview SI. Okay, Oklahoma position preview, SI, and boom, those things pop up right at the top. Or just go to our website, click on football. Anyway, Ryan, I posted my projected two deep at the receiver position. I think I was okay on it, but you had some concern about who plays the Z and exactly what is a Z and who's the X and what's the Y and who's on first. Knowing now what Lincoln said about literally wiping the slate clean, who do you think plays where?
Yeah, and that'll be what's really interesting. We were just talking back and forth about nitpicking is what the modern Z is, less of a slot, more just who your playmaker is, that guy, all that stuff. And if you're wiping the slate clean, John, all those stars go away. We know on paper this might be the most talented unit that's been recruited by the Sooners over the last two or three seasons. But last year, right, wrong, or otherwise, due to suspension, due to injury, you just didn't get that high level of production out of a majority of that room. If you're asking me, John, who's the one name I'm absolutely nailing up there as this guy should be on the field every down, the only guy you can say right now is Marvin Mims. That guy's the only one at last year that went out and consistently balled out. I can't really think of a big, massive touchdown drop or anything like that. Maybe you can refresh my memory if Mims had one, but like I thought
Theo... He did have one.
He had one. There you go. I thought Theo Weiss was going to be that guy last year to take that leap, and we saw flashes of it here or there, and Spencer Rattler himself in some of the post games was saying, you know, that's a little bit on me. I need to get the ball to Theo Weiss. Well, the fact of the matter is, as explosive as Theo Weiss can be when he gets the ball in his hands, he had two or three really crucial touchdown drops, one of them down there in Ames, I guess up there in Ames, geography's fun, that really, you know, killed the Sooners there. And so you'd think on paper it'd be Mims, Weiss, and Hazelwood, but we still need to see what Hazelwood's going to look like when he's 100% healthy. And you've got just an influx of talent all over the place. You've got star-studded wide receivers coming again with Mario Williams. You've got workers like Drake Stoops, who just seem to only make plays whenever they're afforded that opportunity. So, John, when Lincoln tells us that it's a clean slate and that it's anyone's battle, the wide receiver position more than any, I truly believe that, because I've got Mims up there, and then everyone else, there's just so many questions I have surrounding what they're going to bring to the table, whether it be health or just securing the football next year.
So while you were talking, I Googled Marvin Mims drop touchdown, and what was the first thing that popped up on the old Google machine? My story from Texas Tech, where that's a perfect throw from Rattler, 73 yards wide open, behind 5 yards behind everybody, right through his hands. So, yeah, he dropped one at Texas Tech. I'm with you on Mims. I think he is the established alpha, and I think those new guys coming in kind of have a chip on their shoulder to say, clean slate, huh? Watch this. I'm going to bring my own dry erase, and I'm going to make my own mark on this whiteboard. So that could get interesting. Let's talk about the DBs. Buki is gone. Okay. He landed this week, by the way, at Washington. So congrats to him. Wish him the best. I think he probably kind of played out the best he could do, the most he could give here at OU. And a fresh start is going to do him good, especially in the Pac-12. So good for him. But man, so there's an opening, right? There's an opening. Trey Brown graduates. There's an opening there, but kind of not really, sort of, for the most part, almost. I'm interested in what Justin Harrington are going to do at one safety, and Key Lawrence is going to do at the other safety. Maybe he's a cornerback. Because he was recruited to Tennessee as a corner. They offered him, said, you can be our starting corner, and he was like, I'm good. I think I'll just back up the safeties for now. I don't want to be on an island by myself as a true freshman as a corner in the SEC with all those wide receivers, all that first round talent. But those two guys have a ton of talent, a ton of ability. I want to see where they're going to play at Oklahoma in the secondary.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating, John, just because, like you said, with Key Lawrence, like, you could make the case that he could play every single position there on the back end. So it'll be really interesting to see what Alex Grinch and Roy Manning feel about him. And this Justin Harrington hype train, John, I feel like that's the guy that we had kind of been hearing about, that was pegged to be a guy that could really come in and lay down a marker at the safety position to at least get into that rotation. And then, what was it, day two of fall camp last year, we learned that his season is likely done. So it'll be interesting to see another guy, kind of like Jaden Hazelwood. Like, we've heard everything with Hazelwood. We've at least been able to see some of the talent on the field. But I want to see him 100% healthy and what he can do when he physically is feeling the best. And then there's another guy too. I'm thinking about that nickelback position again. A name that Lincoln Riley brought up today, volunteered it, Jeremiah Credell. He's a guy that we all remember. Think back to signing day. It was Oregon and Oklahoma. Credell goes on ESPN, picks the Sooners, and the coaching staff posts that video. They're all going wild. Lincoln is fired up. Like, he's a guy that we kind of been hearing about. Is he coming on strong? Is he coming on strong? But hasn't really been able to make it onto the field to make that huge impact. So I'm interested to see how that battle's going to shape up, because, like you said, John, the corner position between Woody Washington, DJ Graham, and Jaden Davis, that might be shored up. But look, this is what Oklahoma's trying to do. They're trying to take that step forward where there is legitimate competition up and down the two deep at every single position. So the other thing will be, can guys like Latrell McCutchen, can they come in and push those guys so there's not that complacency, which has been the case at the cornerback position the last 5 or 6 years, John? How many times have we seen a guy come in, establish himself as a freshman or a sophomore, and then there's no one else behind him, so there's not that everyday push in practice to continue to be their best player? That's the job that a guy like Latrell McCutchen is going to have to do, and then, of course, we'll see if Billy Bowman can factor in somewhere other than the return game.
Billy Bowman came out on the official spring roster today as a defensive back, as a nickelback. He's not listed as a wide receiver. Now, he's on the smaller side. Okay, he's like 5'10". But I think on the whole, you go back and look at the story I wrote earlier this week about the defensive back spring preview, position preview, I guess. They went from being 5'10", 5'9", at every position to now they've got like 9 guys that are 6', 6'1", 6'2", Jordan Mukes, 6'4". They're getting big, really big and really long. And Alex Grinch says, we're not sacrificing any athleticism to get there. Up next on the SI Sooners podcast, time to pay tribute to a legend. Hey, you want 20% off Manscaped? Then stick around. Support for the SI Sooners podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, the best men's below-the-waist grooming product on the market. Coming up, I'm going to tell you about a special 20% off discount code exclusive to listeners of the SI Sooners podcast. Ryan has been a loyal customer for a while now, but I've only recently been introduced to Manscaped, you guys. And man, I'm telling you, if y'all know me, you know I'm about being comfortable. I'll admit, I was like skeptical when this came across my desk. I was like, come on, really? Do I need a new trimmer? Do I really need men's grooming products? Turns out, I did, and you probably do too. I am now 100% sold because Ryan, the Manscaped line of products, from the trimmer to the boxer briefs to the crop preserver, Manscaped just makes everything more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely, John. We've talked about the Lawnmower 3.0, the trimmer, how great that is, the preserver to keep everything nice and dry and taken care of all the time. But, John, I got to say, that promo code, it comes in clutch. You'll tell the guys all about it. But I went back. I got some of the Manscaped cologne. It smells incredible. All of the women in my life are very, very pleased that I no longer smell like the sweaty, just gross individual that I am. And those boxer briefs, John, those things are legit. Went back for the 3-pack. It's the most comfortable underwear that I've ever worn. I will be probably just getting a 3-pack a month until I can cycle out everything else, load my drawers up, and not have to worry about the quality of my underwear, because they've got you covered. And it's just an incredible product. I haven't tried a single thing that I don't love yet of the Manscaped line.
Yeah, the old underwear, the old stuff has got to go. That's it. It's just going every day. You throw out another one. So Manscaped hooked me up with a bunch of gear from their Perfect Package 3.0. That includes the Lawnmower 3.0 that Ryan mentioned. As I've said before, it has an LED light. Very helpful. High-tech ceramic blade. Their advanced skin-safe technology. Guys, if you've got facial hair, get this trimmer and do not use it on your facial hair, because that's just freaking gross. Okay? Manscaped makes a great gift. Birthdays, Father's Day's coming up. Christmas, don't wait that long, though, because we're offering a special promo code for SI Sooners listeners that'll get you 20% off your whole order, plus free shipping. What beats that? All you got to do is use the promo code SOON. S-O-O-N. That's right. Promo code SOON. Do it soon, because the sooner you get Manscaped, like me, the sooner you'll be comfortable. Final segment of the SI Sooners podcast. So I want to pitch one more story. I interviewed the best hitter in America yesterday. Maybe the whole world, actually. No, not Mike Trout. No, not Christian Yelich. No, not Mookie Betts or Fernando Tatis. Jocelyn Alo. Yeah, the big slugger on the Oklahoma softball team. She's quickly becoming my favorite softball player, her and Lauren Chamberlain ever, because guys dig the long ball, right? She leads the nation in home runs. I think 19 right now. She has hit at least one home run in like 7 straight games. How do you do that? How do you sustain that much excellence? So I talked to her yesterday, and I talked to Patty Gasso about the hot streak that she's going on. 19 bombs so far. She's in serious striking distance of setting both the NCAA single season and the NCAA career home run record. I loved talking to her. She's really funny, really engaging. We got the whole video, the whole interview up with Jocelyn as well as Coach. So check that out. And I hope you enjoy the story. It was a lot of fun to write. I dig stuff like that, because people you don't interview all the time, like Lincoln Riley, they seem to really appreciate being interviewed, right? So it was cool. Now, Ryan, as they say in show business, we've saved the best for last. The big finale. Sherry Cole retired. What? Man, the legend herself. What a shocker. But not really. I mean, I personally knew this was coming for like the last couple of weeks. I got a tip. I followed up on it. I got some inside stuff. If you go back and watch our video from the Big 12 postgame when they lost Oklahoma State, which I posted on yesterday's breaking news story. It's a little like a 3-minute video. Check it out. She gets a little teary-eyed in that one. It's the short one. A couple of my questions, you can tell, maybe were like, less about the game, a little less about this team, and maybe more focused on Sherry as a person, Sherry as a coach. Sherry's kind of methodology and career and how, what she's learned, that kind of thing. So, listen, she's been fantastic at OU. Fantastic. Not just on the basketball court either, in the community, with the media. And that was my point to her yesterday. It was kind of a lot of Sherry, we appreciate you for doing this. And Sherry, I told her, I said, you've been great with the media. You're a breath of fresh air, because here in the media, especially in the Zoom age, we don't get that all the time. So I just wanted to say thanks for that. She's big time. 513 wins, 19 straight NCAA tournaments, 3 Final Fours. Ryan, I've rambled enough already, and I'm probably still not done, but I want to get your take. Now, without crying, I need your thoughts on Sherry Cole, the job she did, and how she's leaving the game.
Yeah, I'll do my best to keep the eyes dry here. I'm just glad you're leaving some stuff for the rest of us, John. But here's the thing I didn't really get. So there was some initial reaction of some people coming out and basically saying, like, why is everyone throwing flowers at Sherry? Look at the program over the last 2 or 3 years. And I just want to be like, guys, yeah, when you stay at one place for 25 years, there's a select few that keep it at that super elite level. Like, I mean, look at, you know, the trials and tribulations that Bob Stoops went through before the little revitalization there at the end. But look at where the Oklahoma women's basketball program was before Sherry Cole and the foundation that she's laid now, because it is night and day what Sherry Cole came in and basically just breathed life into a program that was next to nothing, takes them to 3 Final Fours, a just constant fixture in not just the NCAA tournament, but on Sweet 16 weekend. I just don't think you can say enough about what Sherry Cole has done for Oklahoma women's basketball. And she's one of those pioneers, John, when the women's game in this country was blowing up, getting way, way more exposure. You've got Gina Auriemma, Kim Mulkey. Sherry Cole was named and right up there with the rest of them because of the high level and the way that she presented not just herself, but the program through those early 2000s and on in. So yeah, I don't think you can say enough about the impact that Sherry Cole has had. And whatever hire is made next will have to not necessarily fill the shoes of Sherry Cole, but will have a lot to thank for what Sherry has done in the position that she put Oklahoma women's basketball in, completely changing the direction of the program. And honestly, John, probably saving it as one of the foundational sports here at the University of Oklahoma.
Yeah, I agree completely with what you're saying. And she's always been extremely popular. Okay. But when your salary is elevated to 900,000, a million, 1.3 million last year, and you don't make the NCAA tournament, you go from popular to polarizing. In other words, the people who love you still love you. The people who think you're great still think you're great. But there's now a faction of people who say, we're not winning enough to pay our women's basketball coach $1 million. We're not winning nearly enough. Time for her to go. She can't recruit. She can't coach. She can't motivate. Whatever. For her to be able to say, I'm retiring, and kind of go out, I guess, to go out the way you want to go out, you win the national championship every year, right? She's going out on her terms. She's felt for a while now. She didn't specify exactly when she felt that it was time to retire, but she says she's felt it's been there, the feeling that she's going to retire. And she's told some of people close to her that this is the last year. I think that the players talking about, you know, she doesn't grasp and fully appreciate the black culture, the culture that a lot of her players live, come up through. She kind of showed, an ignorance of their situation, their lives, their culture, and that hurt her a little bit. And I think she recognized that things, the game is changing, players are changing, coaches are changing, everything's changed, society's changing. And 25 years, 3 straight years outside the NCAA tournament, this year, COVID, most games, the second half of the season, they had 6 players. She did what she could, and she recognized that it was time for her to go. If you want to watch that press conference again, we got it at allsooners.com. If you've got an hour to spend, I highly recommend it. Just don't watch Netflix for an hour and use your phone. And if your phone's got a smart TV like mine, you just flick it to your TV and you can watch it right there on your TV. I highly recommend that press conference. She was fantastic. And Patty Gasso was asked about her yesterday, right? on her press conference, and she said Sherry is one of the best speakers she has ever heard. So it would be worth your time to watch that thing. She's so good. And I thought it was interesting, too. What else? Another thing Patty said, they kind of came in a little bit together, kind of about the same era. They both led massively successful women's programs for a long, long time at a place where football's obviously king. And Patty said when she found out Sherry was retiring, her first reaction was, no, no. But then she thought about it. She thought about her own situation because they're like a little bit similar in age and they're so close, such good friends. She quickly like flipped and thought, all right, Sherry, right on. Like she's going to do that someday too. That made me laugh out loud when she portrayed it like that, when Patty did. So it's, you know, it's been cool to see Lincoln and Bob Stoops and Lon Kruger and really everybody post their thoughts about Sherry and the impact that she's had, not just on the women's basketball program, but on the school and the whole Norman community, man. Especially with how much she's given back and encouraged her players to give back. I think that's huge. That's a huge part of her legacy. I asked her what she wants to do next. She said she doesn't know. She talked about being on a beach, about catching up on some reading. I mean, that's what I'd do if I were to retire. I would catch up on a lot of reading, and I would probably be on a beach. She said most importantly was spending time with her new grandbaby, 9 days old. So I think that obviously had a lot to do with the timing of her decision as well. Pretty cool. Now, remember, she was hired not long after the late, great Donnie Duncan, who's one of Lincoln Riley's mentors and the OU Regents at the time, back in 96, I guess, late 96 season, basketball season. They had decided to pull the plug on the women's basketball program. Burl Plunkett had a good couple of years, NIT champs in 93, NCAA tournament run in 1994, but the program was just a drain on what was kind of a shoddily run athletic department. It's the reason Joe Castiglione was hired, to fix the athletic department and make it profitable again, and he's done that. One of the reasons is women's basketball. Nobody was coming to the games back then. The scholarships were not fully funded back then, so the school was in hock just to fund women's basketball. But they changed their mind. They plug it back in. They hired Sherry Cole from Norman High School, and she brings her frizzy blonde hair and her high heels, and she changes the face of OU basketball, and then she starts winning games. She starts kicking everybody's ass and going to Final Fours, and you know what? People start showing up in droves. There was a waiting list for tickets. In fact, for a couple of years there, I believe the women had bigger crowds than the men. You ask me, she's kind of on what would be considered maybe a Mount Rushmore of OU coaches, who, like the ones that aren't football coaches, right? You'd have a Mount Rushmore for football coaches and a Mount Rushmore for the non-football coaches. She's on the non-football, I think. Maybe her, Patty, Billy Tubbs, maybe Kelvin, and then maybe you get one spot for, you combine Mark Williams and KJ Kindler. I don't know. What do you think, Ryan?
I got to give my guy John Roddick a shout-out too there, John. He revived the OU men's tennis program, took him to their first national championship. But yeah, I think it's got to be Sherry. You got to put Patty. You got to put some sort of gymnastics. Maybe we need a five-headed Mount Rushmore. Can we find a new metaphor to put there? But yeah, she's definitely on that list. And look, I know that my family, we held women's basketball season tickets, not men's basketball, women's basketball season tickets, because that was the ticket to have. I remember sold out crowds when UConn would come to town. I remember when Notre Dame and Stanford, it was commonplace every non-con to have one of the top three or four teams. Those battles with Texas, Oklahoma State back in the day, it was just a ton of fun. And that was the sport that ignited the Lloyd Noble Center when Oklahoma basketball on the men's side maybe wasn't playing at as high of a level after their 2002 Final Four run. So anytime you can take any of what would be considered not the main sports, not your football, not your men's basketball, and elevate it to that level, I think that you deserve all the credit in the world. And there will be stuff named after Sherry Cole on that campus and in that athletic department for a long time.
And Ryan Hibble's got a natty. He's got to have a spot on the mountain, right?
Yeah, our mountain's overcrowded.
Listen to the SI Sooners podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts, or on your Amazon-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, please play for me the SI Sooners podcast, because it's awesome. Go to our website, allsooners.com. Click on the player, listen on your phone, your tablet, or your computer, or watch the video version of this here podcast on my YouTube channel, John Hoover Media. For Ryan Chapman, I'm John Hoover. See you guys.